I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Thanks for making it here this Monday. There may be no better way to understand the connections between us Americans and the rest of the world than the clothes we wear. And this week on the show, it's all about the tag. You know, the tag on that shirt you're wearing or the one in that sweater you're planning to buy as a gift for the holidays. What country does it say it comes from? And what does that tell you about the people who actually made it? You may not know this, but the textile industry worldwide employs mostly women. So all this week, our Across Women's Lives desk is bringing you the stories of the women who make our clothes. We'll hear from textile workers in Bangladesh later in the week. Today, we start right here in the U.S. in a place where America's clothing used to be made. Here's the world's Jasmine Guards with our first story from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina.
In Roanoke Rapids, people like to tell this story about how a long time ago, in the middle of summer, it used to snow a little. It would float down and stick to your hair and the cars and the people running off with someplace to be. The town was bustling back then.
It was busy and thriving, yes. We had a downtown and an uptown.
It wasn't snow. It was cotton floating out from the textile mills. This was before air conditioning, and the factories would open their windows to let a breeze in. Igri Lassiter is 89 years old, and she remembers those days.
My daddy was a sharecropper.
She's from a big family, 16 brothers and sisters.
And I couldn't go to college, couldn't do anything but go to work.
What little money they had always went to the boys.
My daddy never gave us girls any money, but he would give the boys money. So I used to wonder, well, why doesn't he give us something?
Then, in the 1940s, everything changed for American households.
America goes to war. Men of the Army, Navy, and Marines reinforce the battlefronts on six continents.
The U.S. joined the war, and Agri's brothers went off to fight. Agri had to get a job at the mill. She was 17.
The first week I worked for 40 hours, guess what I got? 40 cents an hour. I got $16. I was called a creeler. You'd have things of yarn about this large, and you'd put so many of one color here and so many of one color here.
In these mills, they made clothes. They made towels. They made tablecloths. If it could be made out of cotton, they made it.
And it was good to be making money, you know, and taking care of yourself.
Igri remembers buying her first car, and she remembers renting her own room near the mill. Millwork was hard, though, and for most workers, the money didn't go that far. As the years passed, Igri says they could feel the foreign competition coming on. She remembers her boss telling them that they needed to do better.
He said, because in China, they can make the same towel, I'll say, for $2, where...
You know, everybody used to call us lint dodgers and river rats because we lived on the Roanoke River. But lint dodgers, that's the first thing they'd tell us that we were.
Lint dodgers. Phil Huds, an insurance agent, remembers getting called that as a kid. This town was known for one thing, its cotton mills.
If you lived here, born here, somebody in your family worked in the cotton mill. I mean, one time it was 6,000 people here and that worked in these mills. From the very poor to the well-off.
I meet Phil Huds and his friends at the town diner, Oscar's.
Yeah, I want a three-egg omelet with hoop cheese.
Oscar's has been here since 1953. It used to serve the workers breakfast, lunch, dinner. This town never slept because the mill never slept. It was a 24-hour operation. Sitting at this breakfast table is a guy who knows everything about this town's history and the mills. His name is Rex Steinbach.
There are still a lot of really, really good people here. Really good people.
Rex Steinbach is a police officer, and he adores this town. He would describe himself as a hobby historian. And today after breakfast, he's offered to drive me to one of the old textile mills. It was built in the 1920s. It's one of the last left standing. Inside, it's an exquisite carcass of industry. Massive, beautifully built, and completely empty and dark, windows broken and roof leaking.
It's sort of peaceful to me. I like old stuff like this.
What would it have looked like if I had come here, like, 1960s?
It would have been a really, really loud plant here because the weave machines were deafeningly loud. Everyone here wore earplugs. And the place ran 7 days a week at times, 24 hours a day.
Now all I can hear is the buzz of old fluorescent lights. Rex calls me over. In his hands are these yellowed, grease-stained papers.
What did you find? What did you find here?
The company safety rules. It's dirty.
Wow.
Look at my fingers. They're just nasty. It was in the bottom of that drawer.
Smoking in unauthorized areas. Failing to report accidents. Yeah. Failing to wear required personnel.
What happened here in Roanoke Rapids? Some people blame the unions. In fact, you can't even say the word union here without starting an argument. Also competition from abroad, like Acree's boss had warned. Places like China and Bangladesh began making textiles that were so much cheaper. Back at her house, Acree Lassiter tells me she hopes President Trump can bring industry back to Roanoke Rapids.
I hope and pray. I live to see today that a lot of it comes back.
Do you think it can come back? Do you have hope?
I think it can. I've always been an optimist.
But she says when she was driving through town a few years back and she saw the mill where she'd worked for all those years being demolished.
And I stopped my vehicle. I couldn't believe they were tearing it down. And it just did something to my heart. And I sat there and I thought, oh my God. God, they're tearing it down.
One of the demolition crew guys told her she could come in and try and find her old work desk. If she could find it, she could take it home as a memento.
And I went down there, but I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it.
For The World, I'm Jasmine Garst in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina.
Tomorrow, Jasmine takes us to one American city where the textile industry is still booming. In Los Angeles, sweatshops employ thousands of immigrants to make your clothing. Sweatshop USA, that's tomorrow right here on The World. And remember what I said earlier about what you can learn from the tags on your clothes? Well, we've built an online tool that lets you grade your clothes. You enter the info from the tag, and we provide you some insight into how that item was made. So go to PRI.org, and let's figure out how fair is your fashion.